Hello again. More than 70% of the population suffers from some degree of chronic venous disease, but what many don't realize is that this common condition could be a strong predictor of all-cause mortality. Welcome to the ESVS podcast. I am Melina Vega de Ceniga, and we are recording live at the 38th ESVS annual meeting in Krakow, Poland. If you were intrigued by that first statement, wait to hear the rest of this podcast. We're going to profit from this opportunity face-to-face in Krakow to sit down with Joanna Ferreira to talk about some very interesting data published and validated in the last 6 years regarding the association of chronic venous disease and cardiovascular disease. Joanna Ferreira is a consultant vascular surgeon currently working in the University Hospital Center of São Paulo in Porto, Portugal, and coordinator of congenital vascular anomalies and pediatric vascular surgery. Thank you so much for making some time in the busy agenda of this meeting to be with us today.
It is a great honor to be here with you and to talk about this controversial topic, and it's a quite new subject, and in fact, it really changed my daily practice, and I think we will talk about that.
Yep, let's dig into it. Classically, chronic venous disease and arterial disease have been considered different entities, the first being chronic quality of life limiting, but generally regarded as benign, whereas arterial disease conveys risk for life and limb and is thus considered serious and prioritary. Now, a paper published in JAMA in 2018 by Chang and colleagues, reporting a propensity score match retrospective analysis of administrative data, found an association between arterial and venous disease, with chronic venous disease proving to be a strong independent predictor of all-cause death. 3 years later, in 2021, Prochaska and colleagues published in the European Heart Journal the results of a prospective cohort with over 12,000 participants, which confirmed the independent association between CVD, cardiovascular risk factors, cardiovascular events, and all-cause mortality. These findings were validated in a third cohort. Can you give us some details about these findings?
Well, this is quite interesting, a new study. Both studies investigate the potential health risk associated with chronic venous disease. The first study you mentioned is from Taiwan, is a retrospective cohort study, and the authors found a significant increased risk of DVT among adults with varicose veins. The study also found less clear potential associations with pulmonary embolism and PAD. But I want also to emphasize another study of this research group. In fact, this research group from Taiwan, they have three studies about the correlation between chronic venous disease and cardiovascular disease. And they have one study. They looked for the people, for the patients who treated their chronic venous disease when they went endovenous thermal ablation of the great saphenous vein. And they compared this group of patients who those who did not treat the great saphenous vein, and they found that the patients who treat the great saphenous vein had a decreased risk of PAD and DVT. Of course, this is a retrospective study, there is a lot of bias, and we cannot think about a cause-effect relationship, but it's a study that we should think about. The second study you told us is the Prochaska study. Is really interesting, is a large population study, is from Germany. One aim was to describe the prevalence of chronic venous disease. They conclude there was a higher prevalence of varicose veins and chronic venous insufficiency. But the really novelty about this was to prove that patients with chronic venous insufficiency had a higher prevalence of traditional cardiovascular risk factor. They also found that patients with chronic venous insufficiency, that are those with severe form of chronic venous disease, had a higher risk of cardiovascular disease even after adjusting for the traditional cardiovascular risk factors. At the least, in the end part of the paper, they wrote that chronic venous insufficiency was a strong predictor of all-cause mortality independent of age, sex, and cardiovascular risk factors and other comorbidities. And this association between chronic venous insufficiency and cardiovascular death was also investigated in another study. And it is quite interesting because in this last study I mentioned, the authors reflect, they discuss if we should consider or not, it's a discussion, the statins in these patients with chronic venous insufficiency due to the risk of cardiovascular disease. Of course, it's not a guideline. Of course, it's just a discussion in the paper.
But it's a beginning.
It's a beginning, of course.
It's hypothesis making, so definitely research will carry on this direction. It is very interesting. It is a changing paradigm for us, really.
Yeah, I think it's really changed. When I get deeply in this subject, I started to look differently to my patients. I never paid attention to the cardiovascular risk factors in patients with varicose veins. And now when they come to me, I really pay attention if they are obese, if they smoke, if they have dyslipidemia, diabetes, and I really more awareness of this. Of course, it's just the beginning, as you said, I completely agree with you.
It is very interesting that earlier CVD stages are suffered predominantly by women, which is what we all think about. But at later stages, C4 to C6, there is a flip to a majority of male patients. I would like to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, I think we could think about several explanations. Women are more worried about the static, are more concerned about legs, and they normally, in general, the women look earlier for their physician when compared to men. And as chronic venous disease is more symptomatic in women than men, we can understand that the women go firstly to their doctor. So it is easy to understand that the disease could be identified in the earliest stages. But I think there is really more explanations for these differences. One is the San Diego study. The San Diego study proved that the pattern of reflux in women and men are different. Men have more reflux in the deep system, they have a more incidence of DVT, while women have a higher incidence of reflux in the superficial system and more superficial thrombosis. So they are physiological patterns different. But I also read a biological difference, because there is, not just in chronic venous disease, in other papers, the men, in fact, are more oxidative. They have a higher oxidation reactions. They are more inflammatory. They have a higher inflammatory environment than women. And this can explain the incidence of other disease besides chronic venous disease. And this is an explanation why the men have a shorter lifespan than women. So it seems that men are more inflammatory, have higher oxidative stress. This was not studied in chronic venous disease, as far as I know, but I think this could be a pathway.
C2 stage varicose veins have a small but already significant increased risk of DVT, of pulmonary embolism, of peripheral arterial disease, and all-cause mortality. The results for C0 and C1 are not that consistent, are they?
The earliest stage of disease are not consistent associated with arterial disease. But I think that even in this group of patients, maybe the symptomatic C1 could be different from the asymptomatic C1. Well,
more to look into.
Yes.
Now, CVD is very prevalent in the general population, with studies reporting over 70% of some degree of the disease. Now, what implications can this have for prospective cardiovascular risk, thromboembolic risk, and healthcare policies? We're talking about the great majority of the general population.
Yes, as we discussed, there is an association between chronic venous insufficiency and cardiovascular disease, and this is independent of traditional cardiovascular risk factor. So we would expect, with an increase in CVD, an increase in cardiovascular disease, and this implies that we need a public healthcare awareness campaign. We should involve the society, not just the physicians. We should maybe involve the politicians. We probably should involve the community, because we should make a life change in our population. We should increase the physical activity of our population, increasing the muscle pump, and probably we can just do that, improving the societies, improving our cities, transforming our cities in green cities with green spaces for the people to do exercise. We should control the obesity, and we should, of course, involve the primary care, because the primary care are the first ones who see these patients. So to control the cardiovascular disease is not just physicians. I think it should be all the community, all the society.
So it's a bigger picture.
Yeah.
And preventive medicine.
Yes, that's right.
Prevalences of about 45% hypertension in C1, C2 patients, 65% hypertension and 15% diabetes in C3 patients, and 70% hypertension and 20% diabetes in C4, C6 patients have been described. Now, we cannot jump to therapeutic conclusions, even though we'd love to, given the present data. But a practical question that can arise from the findings is, and you have pointed out before, should we actively look for cardiovascular risk factors, diabetes, hypertension, dyslipidemia in CVD patients?
Yeah, we must do it. As a physician, we should look for the patients in a holistic manner. As I said before, after reading all these papers, I look to my patients in a different way. And I look to the cardiovascular risk factors, and sometimes I send them to internal medicine in order to control them. So I think we must do that.
The association of chronic venous disease and cardiovascular risk has been clearly established now in several studies that have validated one another. But it still doesn't imply a cause and effect relationship. You said that. And the papers as well make that clear. Can you expand on the pathophysiology of the arterial and venous disease that could help explain these findings? You talk about oxidative stress, about inflammation. Where's the link? Where do you think the link is?
Okay, I think this is really an important point. There is no cause and effect relationship till now, but both disease, cardiovascular disease and chronic venous disease, they shared risk factor. They share the physiopathology. So if we look to the physiopathology of atherosclerosis and chronic venous disease, we can see that the expression of adhesion molecules have a role, inflammation have a role, endothelium dysfunction is also important. The thrombosis are present in both pathologies. And in fact, if we look to the embryology and the histology of the veins and arteries, in fact, they are not so different. There is difference, of course, but there is also some similarities, and probably there is a genetic common environment between these two pathologies, but of course we need more research work.
What do you think are the next research steps required to better understand this association and the underlying pathophysiological keys?
We should study the population, large studies of the population, looking to the cardiovascular risk factors. Maybe we should think about studying other populations without so many traditional cardiovascular risk factors, like African or Asian population, where the traditional cardiovascular risk factors are not so well prevalent, and understand the incidence of chronic venous disease in these populations. Try to understand the temporal relationship between these two pathologies, and also, of course, molecular and endothelial dysfunction studies. There is some studies with few patients about arterial stiffness and chronic venous insufficiency, and there is an association. So there is some work done, but we should keep on.
This is definitely a paradigm shift. How important do you think it is, and how can we do it to talk about it, to disseminate these findings, to teach healthcare practitioners, not just vascular surgeons, also GPs, internists, nurses, and patients themselves about this association?
Well, I think it's really important for us to talk with the general physicians because they are the first points of contact for patients. They should be aware that chronic venous disease is a disease, is not a static problem. In my country, sometimes the physician thinks that it's normal in the aged people, so sometimes they do not look for the chronic venous disease as a disease. And we should also talk to the internists because they see, and also as GPs, they see the patient as an whole. They have a more holistic approach than us. And the nurses, of course, because sometimes I think they spend more time with the patients than we as vascular surgeons. I want also to talk about a campaign that the American College of Cardiology made some years ago. That was Take Your Socks Off. It was a campaign about PAD, but they call attention to the physicians, general physicians and patients, to take the socks off and to look to the chronic venous disease and also PAD, of course. We should also remove the socks of our patients. We should look to our patients.
So talking about a preventive approach, early diagnosis, early assessment of all cardiovascular risk factors as well as CVD, and early treatment of chronic venous disease, of PAD, of hypertension, of diabetes, of all these chronic diseases that the patient might have.
Yeah, of course, I'm quite sure.
So we're reaching the end of this really interesting podcast. Any final comments?
Well, it was a great honor to be here with you in this fantastic meeting. And I really believe that the podcast and other informal ways of communicating is really useful between us physicians, between the physicians and patients, because if we really want to improve the life of our patients, we should be opened to the community and not just closed in our bubble. And this podcast is a way of open to the world.
Yes, this podcast means to raise awareness and talk about different diseases like this one. And I'm sure we'll actually follow this line of investigation of this paradigm shift. Very interesting to follow what the next findings are. Thank you so much for your time again and for sharing your insights. It's been really interesting, very educational. I hope you enjoy the rest of the ESVS annual meeting ending tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
And as always, thank you all out there for listening. More ESVS podcasts soon to come. Have a great week, everyone. We're certainly enjoying our days here. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.